Good morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mr. Crenshaw is back. I'm Greg.
Yep.
Let me start that again.
What's wrong?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mr. Crenshaw's back. I'm Greg. And it's a what?
Game Day Sunday.
That's what I was trying to do.
Also, Veterans Day.
Yes, it is. Very, very happy Veterans Day to you.
To all veterans in our area.
Exactly. And I mentioned this last hour. I'm going to mention it again coming up. At the end of our show, we're going to hear from a veteran who was at Normandy. Ain't many of them guys left.
Yeah, I know it.
And he tells a very unique story, and it's going to be a quick little kind of overview, but we've played it before, and we're going to end the show with that. You got veterans from all the foreign wars, but there's not too many left from World War II. And we'll tell you who that is later on in the show. Also, some of the places that are having Veterans Day specials.
Yes.
From car washes to haircuts.
Probably today and tomorrow.
Well,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because Chick-fil-A's got a deal going on, but obviously you can't take it.
You did that. Won't get that till tomorrow.
Can't get that today. So, also want to revisit our survey question, poll question, if you will. You can find it up on at 92.9 The Game. And this is on me. This is just my perspective. I thought about this watching Le'Veon Bell last week and not thinking that the greats at running back in the NFL, and I'm not the first person who's chewed this, they just don't have the power they used to. Pittsburgh showed that they're not acquiescing to this guy, and he's the top running back in the league. So the NFL running back, the NBA big man, and the premier base dealer in Major League Baseball are three positions that once, while being coveted and could hold the organization's feet to the fire when it came to paying them, they don't have that juice anymore. And they may be on the way out. Which one of those three will you miss the most? You got back here. We started this yesterday, and when we started last hour and I brought this up to you, you said you're going to miss the premier base dealer.
Already, man. Not going to. I've been missing it. Baseball, when we started the guys getting on the juice, that's when the speed went out. Everybody was waiting to see the big guy.
I don't think that was the reason.
No, but it coincided with that because now everybody's waiting for the big blast. Everybody's waiting for the big 500-foot home run. And so we're not working the guys around bases. We're not doing as much hit and run. We're not having that extra guy on the roster we bring in the eighth inning or ninth inning. You know, when somebody gets on base, you know they're not as fast. Put that guy on and move him around. They stopped doing that.
Am I missing somebody? Because I was thinking about this with the Braves, and I was going, the last person that was specifically brought in here for his speed to be the base dealer, was it Otis Nixon?
No, Otis played center.
But he was also a base dealer.
Yeah, base dealer, the guy. But I mean, you're talking about a guy you would have on your team.
I understand.
That was just kind of there just for that.
Who from him then? Since
Furcal?
Rafael Furcal?
Furcal was brought to this team to be a leadoff man with speed.
With speed.
He had great speed. He was a rookie of the year, 2000.
Yeah, I mean, he stole some bases.
I thought it was his arm that was more.
He was a shortstop, so he had
incredible arm.
Yeah, he had great speed, though.
Anyway, Bo's joining us here. What's the. What's the survey look like?
So, which
right
of
now?
These three forgotten major sports positions would you like to see return the most? The NBA big man, the bell cow running back in the NFL, Sam. It's kind of what we were referring to, not the running back position, but you don't see it's all running back by committee these days. And back, 20 years ago, it was a guy.
Yeah.
You know, the 80 base stealer in Major League Baseball, almost 500 votes. The 80 base stealer is winning with 42%.
Yeah.
Followed by the NBA big man with 30. And I agree 100%, and I don't think the game is being taught at a young age, the ABC baseball, get them on, get them over, get them in way. It's all about the power, and the kids see the power, and the kids see the bat flips. You know, chicks dig the long ball, and that's the, you know.
Yeah, I think if you saw it more, I think chicks would dig a guy going from first to home. You know what I mean?
The most exciting play in baseball is a squeeze play. Or a steal of home.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Much more exciting than a home run and much more rare.
Yeah.
But kids don't see it.
And, they don't put that on SportsCenter replays. Anyway, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. This is normally when we go and sort of look back at some of the local teams that played yesterday in college football.
In college football.
And that's your job, man.
Yep, as the season winds down for some, and some others get set for the postseason. We already talked about Georgia's win and Georgia Tech's win. Kennesaw State was a winner again at Monmouth. They had it all the way up New Jersey. That was a conference game, by the way. 51-14, they win that one, and Kennesaw State just continues to roll. Ranked up at the number two spot in the FCS poll. Georgia State on the chin, taking a now loss at Louisiana Lafayette. I said Lafayette. They just want to be called Louisiana these days.
I thought it was the Raging Cajuns.
They are the Raging Cajuns, but they wanted, since they've said, and Bo can clarify this, since they did that because they said there wasn't technically there was not a University of Louisiana, right?
Well, Louisiana Monroe might have a certain something to say about that.
But you think they're both directional schools.
Yeah.
One was Southeast, one was
Northeastern, one was Southwestern.
Yeah.
Southwestern. Southeastern Louisiana, No, because Lake Charles is Southwest, Lafayette Southeast.
Okay.
I'm all confused.
Yeah. It is kind of very confusing. It's Northwest, Northeast.
Yeah.
And Northwestern's actually in the middle of the state, which I can't really explain that
really?
One. Really? What's in Natchitoches, which is kind of in the middle.
Look.
Yeah, you know.
Who's doing this map? Who's doing this map?
I don't know how the formerly known as ULLA got to be the one to determine that they just wanted to go by the University of Louisiana. I guess they all could do that, but then you wouldn't know where the hell they are anymore.
Right,
and that was the original point of designating them by their cities. But yeah,
they went out and bought some stationery. They had some stationery made up, man. So yeah. Everything you get,
or
in the
they
mail,
got
man.
Some stationery that was made wrong. Oh, I guess we're the University of Louisiana now. Maybe that's what happened.
There we go. Ah, see, Bo cleared it up for us. So Louisiana, 36-22 over Georgia State yesterday. Georgia Southern loses, and this was a bit of a surprise. Troy beats them 35-21 because Georgia Southern have been playing so well. They beat Appalachian State, and so now they've dropped a couple of games. They'll be here in a couple of weeks to play over at the Pete's Place against Georgia State. Georgia State goes to App State next week. I'll be on the road with them next Saturday, freezing to death up at Boone, North Carolina. Mercer's a winner, 13-9 over Chattanooga. And
Hang on. Did you just tell everybody you ain't gonna be here next Saturday?
It's Saturday. They on the road up in Boone.
I got coming here by myself. We're calling you up.
I can call you. I can call you up there. I'm not too timed.
We're gonna give you a mobile unit. You can just do the show for
me. I'm not too timed.
I want to hear some game day Saturday mornings.
We might have a bear or two to come out of the woods.
That's all right. Put a headphone on them.
We will. Bear, come over here and talk to us. Like I said, Mercer was a winner, 13-9. Albany State was in the SIAC championship game. They lose to Miles, 50-23. The next one really hurts, folks. The alma mater falls on the road at Valdosta State, the dreaded rival from South Georgia, 47.
Hand over his heart, folks.
47-31. So Valdosta State finishes the regular season 10-0 at West Georgia, 10-1. And we find out what what their designation will be as far as the postseason goes. Both teams will be in the playoffs, but just hated to see, of all folks to lose to, alma mater don't want to lose to those
I will
people.
Say, though, after spending a few days up in that really cold region of the country, yeah, I figured your knuckles would be more ashy. But they ain't. No, they look nice. You got some lotion on you.
Then again,
wife did put you in a suit yesterday, right?
You did.
She put some lotion on you?
She did.
No ashy knuckles this morning, folks.
Not for the wedding yesterday. Barry falls for the first time this season. Trinity 21, Barry 17. Barry still in good shape for the Division III playoffs. 9-1 score. 9-1 is their record right now. Huntington 42, LaGrange 14. Final score in that game. Florida Tech 55, 7 winners over Shorter. Savannah State falls to North Carolina A&T 28-12. Those are some of the scores of teams around the state that were in action yesterday.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. I want to revisit something you guys touched on last hour when we were talking about some of the high school games and brought up, I asked Gabriel about McEachern, and they're going up against Colquitt County. What is it about, and we didn't get a chance to elaborate, but what is it about that program down there where you don't think you're going to get the players downstate that you could get up here, but yet he has got this power going, this powerhouse down there?
Yeah.
Talking about Coach Probst, the visor.
Well, I mean, this is a year where the teams in South Georgia are making their presence felt, and that's some of the things we saw Friday night. The South Georgia teams are really going to be strong in this playoff, and I know it kind of goes in waves, and, you know, sometimes the power's in the northern end of the state, sometimes in the southern end of the state. The road to the state championship will go through the southern part of the state for a lot of the classification. The 7A classification is one. If you want the state championship, you're going to have to go there. And the thing of it is, last year they finished third in their region, which means they had to go away for their games. They came north six times before they got to the championship game. They played no home games in the playoffs last year.
But why are they the only ones then coming
not,
up from
not,
down south?
They're well, not the okay. only ones. Lowndes is strong. I mean, Lowndes, you know, we'll see them next week. They beat Cherokee 54-14. Lowndes is always a strong program. We know about Tift County, Tifton. They came up and they knocked off Norcross. I'm not Norcross. They knocked off Roswell. They eliminated the Fighting Chuckeries. The Fighting Chuckeries. And that was a big surprise. 42-7. 42.
But South, Tift and Colquitt are usually the only ones I hear you regularly mention.
You mention them. Valdosta is strong.
Once in a while, but even
Lee County is a very strong program down there, doing a different classification. But I'm telling you, the South Georgia teams are primed this year to really make some noise. They want to come to the bins. We can keep the snow away this time. They want to come to the
bins. Doesn't really matter.
They did last year.
Well, but the dome wasn't, you know.
No. The snow, they told them don't even try to come to town. Okay. You remember that's what happened last year. Everybody was upset. True. So I mean, we want to keep the snow away, and we won't have that reason. We got the roof nice and tight now. You can come up and play. These guys want to come and play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Colquitt's score was 34-5 against Etowah. They won that one. Now McEachern beat Noonan 48-21. So that's their matchup coming up against McEachern. The game for GPB Sports next week will be Archer against Parkview. Two teams that are not that far apart, but in different regions. Parkview 42-19 winners over Collins Hill, and Archer was 56-0 over Forsyth Central. So you got to that, and you just had some. Like I said, I was surprised with Roswell gone like that. Stevenson gone. Coffee beat them 45-17. I mean, the South Georgia teams making
some.
Well,
they've got something in the water going on down there, because the way you talk, I mean, it's everybody else and Colquitt County. It's like it's like that Roy thing. There's Alabama and the rest of y'all. Gonna touch on some NFL action with a friend of the show, Russell Baxter. He's joining us next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. It is Sam. It's Greg. You know, you just show business would not work.
What would you?
I try to tee you up, and not you know, it's timing. And I thought you were going to give us a game day.
Okay.
You want to try this again?
Okay.
All right, take two. People back in place. Last looks. Camera up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on a beautiful morning, and also a
game day Sunday.
Thank you. It's a beautiful day now. See, when we don't hear that, yesterday just didn't feel complete, man, without hearing that. Russell knows what I'm talking about. If we don't get that game day out of you, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, the days just aren't complete. Would you agree, Mr. Baxter?
Kind of like the snap crackle without the pop.
Thank you. thank you.
Morning, Russell.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we doing? I know at least one of you is awake.
Yeah, there you go. Russell, before we dive into what's going on in the NFL, I want to bring you in on a question that we have asked over the last day or so, and it's about three positions that don't have the cachet it used to have, and the last one sort of hit me this past week with Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers, and seeing that the Steelers are not going to move off their position, and Le'Veon's not moving off of his, and the running back position, as Bo put it, the bell cow, couldn't get that out. Running back, the big man in the NBA, and the base stealer in Major League Baseball. Those all seem to be going by the wayside, or not having the importance within the organizations like they once did. As they move away, which one are you going to miss the most? And that was our question. We put that up, by the way, at 92.9 The Game. For the rest of you listening, you could go on participating, give us your thoughts. But which one of those three, for you, would you miss the most?
I as a sports fan, I would say the base stealer, given the three choices you gave me. One of my favorite baseball players of all time is Lou Brock.
Yeah.
And I can remember coming home from school. I mean, we're talking a long time ago when the World Series guys was not played at night.
Right.
The first World Series night game didn't occur until 1971. Don't ask me how I know that. That's part of the useless paraphernalia
that makes you special
in my brain. But I remember coming home from school when I lived in Florida in 1967 and watching the Red Sox and the Cardinals. play the World Series in the afternoon. And I don't know if you remember the late 60s Cardinals teams.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Awesome Logan, team.
Well, Lou Brock, yeah. Burt Flood, Bob Gibson, Joe Torre, Del Max. I mean, they were really, went to back-to-back World Series. They lost to the Tigers in 68. But Lou Brock was simply amazing to me. Just a great overall baseball player in the art of stealing. Of course, Ricky Anderson then took it to a different level as well and so on. And you just don't see that as much. And I'm not the biggest baseball aficionado. I love watching. I actually love going to baseball games. I'll speak on the running back situation. I won't miss it because it hasn't totally gone away. And there's no more cyclical sport than the national than football. Okay, because after a while, after everybody, in fact, you might see that cycle change later in the year as everybody's spread out and everybody's tired. It'll be real interesting to see how many teams really start pounding the rock in December.
That's what I felt. I'm surprised to not hear more running backs because you talk about that base dealer. But listen, the replays of Barry Sanders, I could watch for an hour. DeAndre Swift is coming up. And he's had some Sanders-like moves. We got Kareem Hunt in Kansas City. We have had some Adrian Peterson, although a power runner, still was exciting to watch. I'm just surprised that, and I agree with you, I think it's the base dealer, but still, I'm just surprised the running back of this little poll that we put together hasn't gotten more love. And so.
Well, because I think there's so much more running back by committee than there ever has been, okay? We talk more about the tandems in the league than we do necessarily the individual guys, unless you're having a season like Todd Gurley where you're reaching the end zone a lot of times, and you're having a season like James Conner who's having a season in the comparison of Le'Veon Bell. So, but I mean, you know, Kamara and Ingram and, you know, it's more tandem than anything else. Often, listen, it's been lights out offense. And also part of that, Greg, is also that the passing game these days has never been more productive. I mean, we're going to, by the end of the weekend, which is week 10, with 7 weeks to go, we will have already surpassed, you know, unless something strange happens. Just even if we have an average week, there will have been one more 100-yard receiving games by the end of this week than there were all of last year.
Man, I agree with you, and I blame all of this on Peyton Manning. But let's get on to another subject.
You mentioned New Orleans, and you mentioned, you know, what they do with the ground attack and Kamara and Ingram. But thoughts about a player that came and went with them this week, Dez being there and not being around at all. Talk about the impact of that, what they expected to get, and now they won't have him.
Well, they expected to get a replacement for Cameron Meredith, who is out. It gives them, a terrific option down near the goal line, the guy in the red zone. Dez has that size, as we know. He had that three-year stretch, where he scored like 41 touchdowns in 3 years. And with all the support around him and all the weapons they have around him, he would not be the focal point of the passing game. So it's a blow for him. I think it's more a blow for Dez personally because rehab from an Achilles is long, which means, and the fact that it took place, Sam, in early November, so you're probably talking June or July, maybe if he even gets back on the field by then, and he'll be a free agent. So it's a tough blow for him. Because it already leaves his football future in doubt for 2019 because of the timing of the injury.
Exactly. General consensus is we've seen the last of Dez Bryant, but we'll see what happens. 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on this morning. We started this conversation off talking about Le'Veon Bell. I made a statement before Sam and I came on the air. I think he ends up in Oakland. What do you say?
Well, it's funny you should say that because I thought he was going to end up in Oakland a couple of months ago. If you remember this offseason, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Oakland Raiders orchestrated two trades with each other. And as we see often around the league, you see teams deal with the same team. on a consistent basis. And irony of ironies, you know, go back and look the last two or three years, guys. Two teams that have traded each other numerous times are the New England Patriots and the Cleveland Browns. Orchestrated a couple of trades this offseason again. You know, where's Jamie Collins? Where's Danny Shelton? You know, they, you know, either one place or the other place, but trades between those two teams. Remember Martavis Bryant went to the Raiders? And then my favorite trade of the 2018 NFL season, Ryan Switzer. And the reason I say that was, and it somewhat epitomizes the confusion that has been the Raiders this year. You'll remember that Ryan Switzer was a member of the Dallas Cowboys, and the Raiders traded for him, correct?
Yep.
And before the regular season even started, Ryan Switzer was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And has done, by the way, has done very well for them as a slot receiver and as a return artist.
Fantastic, fantastic news. I'll be getting this all from Russell Bax. Don't forget, you can follow him on Twitter, always, Bax Guru, at Bax Guru.
Well, not always. I sleep for about 20 minutes a day.
So. About 20 minutes a day, is that all? That all?
I will sleep the Monday after the Super Bowl. That's how it works.
He is on it. He is on it. We talked about the Saints, and we're watching them here. They got Cincinnati today. How did the Saints do on the road against the Cincinnati defense?
Well, the Cincinnati defense, I mean, that's ranked bottom in the league in yards allowed and passing yards allowed, probably pretty good. But can the New Orleans defense hold off the Bengals, who I know will not have A.J. Green, but it's not like they haven't had the ability to score points this year as well. You know, if you remember the last time we saw the Bengals, you know, it was that rough game against Tampa Bay. They wound up winning it, but were way ahead. I mean, that seems to be Tampa Bay's mantra the last couple of weeks, get blown out in the first half and then, you know, make it close but still come up short, as they did in Carolina last week. This is a tricky spot for the Saints as far as I'm concerned. It's their third road game in 4 weeks. They had a very tough, even though the Ravens are slumping, guys, tough game at Baltimore they pulled out, revenge game at Minnesota that they pulled out, and then the back and forth with the Rams, in which, remember, they squandered a big lead. So I would not be surprised if they stumbled in Cincinnati. You know, I'm not calling the upset, but I think it's hard to be emotionally up for first of all, three road games in 4 weeks is tough. And given who they played, it could be a tough spot. It could be one of those games where New Orleans wins the battle but loses the war, maybe turnovers or something like that. They will be having to deal with Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap and that defensive front. So
talking to Russell Baxter, joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, we talked about New Orleans. We saw Cam Newton at the Georgia game. He had to get out of Charlotte after that Thursday night debacle against the Steelers. Although I'd believe it was more the Steelers than it was something having to do with the Carolina Panthers. They just played out of their mind. But let's talk about that team that's sitting in the third spot in the NFC South and the uptick that the Falcons have shown over the last few weeks, whether it's Steve Sarkisian and people are jumping back on that bandwagon. What are your thoughts on this Falcons team as they get ready to go up against the Browns today?
Well, you already know my thoughts on the Falcons in terms of coming into the season and so on. So,
But the rest of our audience may not, Russell.
Oh, okay. You mean my Atlanta, Los Angeles Chargers preseason Super Bowl pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, I guess the Chargers aren't looking too shabby right now either.
Nah.
It's still a long way to go, but at least Atlanta has crawled back into it. You know, obviously the bad luck with the injuries with Keanu Neal and Deion Jones and so on, need some Grady Jarrett for a couple of games. But three straight wins, very sharp last week against the Redskins. They just have to keep it going. But, you know, the beauty of the Falcons, and one of the reasons I picked them to win the Super Bowl, as we talked about it, is, A, they're the only team in the NFC to have been in the playoffs 2 years in a row. There's a lot to be said for that. And I think that resiliency is going to wind up paying off for them. You look around the rest of the conference. okay, and they're sitting at 4-4, who is running away with anything other than the Rams? Nobody. The NFC North, every team has at least three losses. Seattle stumbled a little last week. They're sitting at 4-4. So if the Falcons take care of business and maybe, you know, steal one or two games on the road, especially in the division, I could very easily see the NFC South sending three teams to the playoffs again.
Whoa. That's fantastic stuff. Russell, we thank you for always spending some time with us. Once again, you want to follow him on Twitter. It is at BaxFootballGuru. And, Russell, we thank you for spending
some time with us.
Enjoy the games today.
No problem. I hope you guys get your little back and forth straightened out. You got to rehearse a little. So.
Yeah, I know. That's what makes us art, though. Appreciate it, Russell. Yeah. Thanks.
I like the raw emotion.
All right. Listen.
Yep.
You ready to go on the other side of the glass?
It's that time.
Get some unique thoughts from Bo?
Always.
That's up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. It's a bit crisp outside, but it's a beautiful looking fall morning. Football Sunday, I'm telling you, this is the epitome of it. You
look, we got a nice view from up here. You know, the trees,
yeah,
you know,
man.
The leaves are starting to turn up here, and it's got, we're seeing some yellows and oranges and reds along with the greens, and that time of year.
You know how I talk about this being the day before we go on the other side of the glass? That, you know, I give these, this happened on this particular day. And actually, Bo yesterday was talking about pretty soon we're going to start hearing about the MLB postseason awards.
Yes.
On this date, 22 years ago. Number 29 on your program, number one in your heart, received his first and only Cy Young Award, Mr. John Smoltz.
Whoa. Man.
22 years ago on this date.
Yeah.
We can give him a call and thank him, but he's probably at church someplace right now.
He might be right now.
Yeah. But anyway, time to go on the other side of the glass.
Wow. It's the other side of the glass on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Man, I'll tell you what. There is a lot of chippiness going on in the NFL these days, or more specifically this week. We're going to start with this Saints-Rams game, and I hate to bring up old stuff here in Atlanta about the Saints winning again and yada, yada, yada. New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton, when speaking about the performance of Michael Thomas, who went 12 receptions for a career franchise or a franchise record, 211 yards, and a touchdown, Sean Payton says they were going to travel Marcus Peters to him, meaning shadow number 13 with Marcus Peters. And that was fine by us, Payton said. We thought we really liked that matchup a lot.
Yeah.
And Michael Thomas sure as hell took advantage of it. 12 catches, 211 yards. Marcus Peters, I guess, was kind of embarrassed by Sean Payton saying they were going to target him. Marcus Peters fires back, tell Sean Payton, in quotes, to keep talking that shweep. We'll see him again.
Nicely done.
No, I saw that replay. That was classic.
I guess referring to the fact that they may end up in the NFC Championship game facing each other. Now, Marcus Peters, you're going to have to do a lot of improving by then, brother. Because just in case you didn't know it, the Rams are the sixth worst team at defending the left wide receiver position. And that just happens to be where Marcus Peters lines up 49% of the time. They do defend the right wide receiver. The 17th in the NFL, where Marcus Peters lines up 35% of the time. But, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Stats don't lie, dude.
How about it?
You're not the only – the Saints aren't the only team to target Marcus Peters. So step your game up, bro. So Rich Gannon, now a commentator on CBS and Sirius XM, decided to take shots at Matt Stafford over the last week. Lions have now lost 2 in a row, falling to 3-5. They traded Golden Tate. Matt Patricia's going off on – medium members. Rich Gannon comes out and says, I'm getting sick and tired of talking about Matthew Stafford. The guy is overpaid. He's been one of the highest paid quarterbacks over the last 4 or 5 years, and he is a stat king. He picks up a lot of yards and production in garbage time.
I don't pick on Matt. How you going to mess with Matthew
Stafford? Now, I don't think
garbage
that the Lions' lack of success is due directly to Matt Stafford's play. I think he's better than average quarterback. He's got a big arm. Doesn't make some of the best decisions in the world. At some point, you are what your record says you are. They haven't been competitive enough in this division. That's why the Lions are not a better football team. Lack of production from the quarterback position. I don't know if there's a lack of production from the quarterback position, though.
No, and the other thing is he decided he was going to be a franchise quarterback in Detroit, which wasn't really a coveted position.
No,
A lot of franchise quarterbacks didn't want to go there.
When's the last time they won anything?
Exactly.
It's been hours and days and months. It's way before Matt Stafford.
They're one of the few teams still never to play in a Super Bowl.
So Matt Stafford doesn't waste a whole lot of words in replying to Rich Gannon, kind of just flicking him off like a flea. I don't need to answer to Rich Gannon. I don't think he does either. What's Rich Gannon ever done? What have you done, Rich Gannon? Was he the losing quarterback in the Raiders-Bucks Super Bowl?
With the Bucks, I believe so,
Is that the most he's ever done? Of course, Stafford's never been that close to a Super Bowl, but I don't think the Raiders were there because of Rich Gannon.
Matthew Stafford,
I'll go back and check the tape.
Most importantly, Matthew Stafford has respect from his peers and the people who 100% watch football.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, he can sleep well at night.
So go away, Rich Gannon, in your comments. And finally, the best one. 7-year-old Rylan Wood, who is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, he couldn't stay up and watch the Cowboys-Titans game last week because it was a primetime game, 8:30. His bedtime was 8:30. Good for you, Mom and Dad, for making sure that he sticks to his bedtime and gets those grades. Wakes up the next morning to find out that the Cowboys lost to the Titans and are now 3-5. So he decided to take matters into his own hands. This comes via NBC Sports Philadelphia. He hand-wrote a letter to Jerry Jones, the 7-year-old. Some of the more prominent highlights in the letter include, "We suck. You have made my mom very mad."
Oh, no.
He said he didn't want to hurt Jones' feelings, but he feels the truth should have to come out. Good for you, Rylan Wood. Take it straight to the top.
How about that?
And then one more thing here. I don't know if everybody knows about Alvin Kamara's affinity for candy, and particularly Airheads. When he first joined the New Orleans Saints and after he blew up last year, he made a couple tweets about Airheads to the makers of Airheads. They have now made a Airhead flavor and they named it after Alvin Kamara that is only available to him, his family, and his friends.
What?
Called Alvin Kamara's Watermelon Zoom. And they hooked Alvin Kamara up with so much Airheads that it will probably take the entire Saints team to... There's pictures of it if you go check out his Twitter feed.
We could send some up to Norcross High School. He sends them back to his school.
I think we do need some if anybody's listening there. But yeah, Alvin Kamara's Watermelon Zoom Airheads, only available to him and his family and friends. He's got his face on the wrapper and everything. It's a real flavor of Airhead.
I'm sure.
But why can't we get any?
I'm sure the folks at Norcross will have some.
Same thing with Beast Mode with Skittles?
They're probably included in family and friends. Now, Beast Mode was a spokesperson for Skittles.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they named a flavor after him. Okay. What flavor would that have been?
He was a spokesperson when he wasn't speaking to
anybody. When he wasn't talking to nobody
He wasn't talking to anybody, but he spoke for that. Get that money.
And that's what's going on. On the other side of the glass.
All right. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to let you guys hear from Coach Dan Quinn.
Yep.
He visited Hugh and John, as he does every Wednesday, talking about today's matchup between the Falcons and the Browns. That's coming up top of the hour. But up next, a chance for you to get some jobs in some of these film and TV projects. It's a casting call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.